You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Karasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 20 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, continuing on with Krimov and Grekov's very polite, very mutually respectful conversation. As Krimov tries to assert his will, assert his strength, as Grossman phrases it in this chapter, over the fighting soldiers of House 6-1, which they pretty much ignore pretty resoundingly. And Krimov decides, all right, this is embarrassing. I'm going to have to take Krimov, or I'm going to have to take Grekov out. And then as he's figuring out what to do about that, he gets shot in the head, grazed in the head.
Grazed in the head.
And just gets taken off. This is an interesting, this is the culmination of everything we've been seeing in this run up for this particular mini arc. Is there anywhere in particular that you'd like to begin?
Yes, there is this one comment that Krimov makes that I just thought was so telling and so interesting in relation to a lot of the other things that we've been talking about lately. So he is trying to figure out what is happening with these troops, and he's thinking, is it a mutiny? Is it like, what is it? Why are they so reluctant to listen or to, I don't know, do whatever Krimov wants, basically. And he says, perhaps it sprang from the general sense of equality that was such a feature of Stalingrad. Previously, Krimov had been delighted by this sense of equality. Why did it now make him so angry? Why did he want to suppress it? And I think that it's telling that when he is sent as a party functionary to this regiment, he turns into that party functionary. And that's exactly how he acts. And he warps his sort of mind and viewpoint around that. And these things like the sense of freedom that he used to love when he was one of those just soldiers fighting, he can no longer comprehend, and he sees it as bad and it needs to be stamped out because he needs to do his job. And so if you wonder why normal people or, you know, maybe Krimov is not that normal, but he was at one point someone who was average soldier, more or less, how they end up kind of replicating those structures that annoyed them probably to no end when they were at that previous point. You can see it happening very easily with his character in this chapter. And then he doesn't get his satisfying conclusion because he gets blown in the head. Grazed in the head.
Yeah, no, I think blown in the head works.
Yeah, I was going to say get his head blown off, but I was like, it wasn't quite that far. I mean, that's maybe how I would describe it if that had happened
right
to me.
That happened to you, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
And who indeed did blow Krimov's head? Grekov? Who knows? that was my main takeaway from this chapter. Even, you know, just to build on that same idea, there's this moment where Krimov is trying to, you know, rouse the men. He's done this before many, many times before. This is his whole job, is to rouse these soldiery, and he calls upon this example from, I wish I'd written the general's name down, but calls upon this example and says, look, just like this, you know, general, you know, we're in the same situation, and all these soldiers lying around and staring up, and we're like, yeah, precisely, man, you got it. And yeah, he's not, this is, you know, later on he gets mad at these soldiers, but this moment he's not really mad, he's just hurt. And I think it's because as he notes very quickly, he's hurt because he understands this very tendency to call upon imperial examples. He personally hates that. And he has seen other political instructors do it, and he does not like when they do it. And so when they make fun of him, you know, for once in his life of soldiers making fun of him, he's not even mad at them. He's just like, shit. Maybe he even thinks on some level, I would do the same in their shoes, right? That's fair. I don't like this tendency either. If I were, you know, if we were, if this, so you, this, he seems to be somewhat aware of this. And there's this tension, because the same attitude under different circumstances would be great for soldiers, I think, Krimov, I understand. If you're in the time of the czars and he's trying to get these soldiers to raise their consciousness up, to step in the question of their society, these would be great questions to ask, as they do start asking. But because he's no longer in that society, and as you say, now we see him coming to fill the role which he's been put upon, and as almost as like a counterexample or maybe a fellow example to Getmanov. Getmanov is the function, is the pure functionary, as someone who knows what they're doing. Krimov is sort of the morally upright person who just fits the shoes they've been given, consciously or not. And now these same tendencies, the same sense of equality, as you say, this sort of consciousness, very interesting use of the word consciousness here. This consciousness among the soldiers is now negative. This critical attitude is now bad. And now, now, as you say, from the great line you chose, now it makes him angry.
Yeah. And on some level, I think that you can see part of the resentment probably is just this distrust of a sort of authority that seems to think that it has the right to tell someone what to do or how to do things. And Krimov kind of takes on that authoritative air when, in reality, he actually does have some ground to stand on because he does know, generally speaking, what he's talking about. But like you said, he doesn't choose to draw on those sort of examples. He goes about it in a different way that's very off-putting to the men that are there. And I think that he just kind of shows a good example of leadership that doesn't really know how to lead, doesn't really, it's not that inspiring. He sort of doesn't have the necessary relationships or knowledge with the people there to lead them, and instead he's viewed as this sort of outside force, which I think is partially what wounds him, because he knows that he could be or should be considered this, like one of them, but he's not. And he fails to really recognize that until it's too late and he gets shot in the head, shot near the head,
right?
Shot on the head.
It's blown on the head.
Blown on the head, yeah.
Yeah. And oh boy, poor Krimov. Things just get tough from here on out.
Yeah. I just thought that this was such a great chapter because I think that we often want to see resolution. And this chapter just shows that there are so many storylines that get started and then abruptly ended. And in this case, not by death, just by chance. Actually, good chance because he didn't die. But it still kind of ends this tale that had been started. And we're not going to see it conclude, at least not in this way.
Right, yeah. Well said.
Thank you. Do my best.
And I really can't top that. So I think maybe for now, we'll leave it here and then embark on a new adventure tomorrow.
Yes. In that case, you will hear from us again soon.